Let's turn our Bibles to John 15. John 15, verse 9. John 15:9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We just want to worship you and praise you in this time. And I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to me and through me, God, and to us as a church, God, in this time and this morning. And we want to know you, God. We want to meet with you. We want to we thank you that your presence is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. I want to speak a little bit about the love of God, the love of the Father. I was really moved and touched by our retreat just 2 weeks ago. And I felt like the stuff that Pastor Benjamin was sharing with us about the love of the Father is it's very profound and something that is really life-changing, right? And transforming our hearts. But I'm afraid, I'm worried for our church and for myself that we'll just hear the message and then it'll just kind of go in through the one ear and then leave through the other ear, and we will just kind of, because we're always bombarded with so many different things, right? Of different messages, different entertainment, whatever, that it just distracts us from this profound truth of the love of the Father, right? And the love of God. So I want to kind of encourage us once again to kind of remain in the love of God and the love of Jesus. The word here it says, abide in my love. That word abide in Greek is the word meno, which means to stay or to remain or to abide or to tarry or wait in something. So it's not just an attitude of the heart of I'm going to abide in the love of Jesus in my heart. But I think it also has something to do with, it's like there's a time dimension as well, of staying in something. There's many verses that use this word meno, and many times it just talks about like an actual physical staying in a place, right? So, you know, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep reading on, it talks about how obedience to his commandments is remaining in his love. But I mean, I'm still struggling to understand what does it mean to remain in God's love. And I think it's not just an attitude of the heart thing, but it really is a time thing as well, that we would spend time, you know, remaining in the love of God, abiding in the love of God. Whatever that means, maybe it's meditating on it, you know, reading Bible verses on it and letting that kind of sink in our hearts. But I want to encourage us to do that. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, it says this. You can turn there if you want to. You can just listen. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. This is my new life verse. I don't know if I told you here at EMP, but I had a life verse for about, not that long, for about 5 years, I think, Psalm 16:11. And I felt like God was really speaking to me through that. It's You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. And that really dealt with a lot of the things that I was going through. Sin issues. Just realizing that there's eternal pleasures in God. And that there's joy in Christ and not burden in the presence of God. But when I was on my sabbatical, in my Europe trip, I really felt like God was highlighting this verse to me, that and John 15:9, to be my new life verse. That God wants to teach me something. And this is such a simple truth, right? God loves me. Jesus loves me. And yet, I feel like I still don't know it. And I'm not living my life truly in the reality of this truth. The truth of God's love for me. And so I'm excited and I'm hoping that I will really be able to learn this truth, not just in my head, but that God, thank God that He has given me this verse and He's highlighted this verse to me, and so that means He's doing something in my heart. But I want this to do something in your hearts as well. You know, why would Paul pray this? Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, and I pray that that you would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I think Paul prays this because it's not easy to grasp the love of Christ. You know, I think we so easily say it at church and we hear it all the time. You know, God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But it's not very easy to truly grasp the love of God, and to know this love. It says it's a kind of love that surpasses knowledge. But Paul says, I pray that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. So I think it's too profound for us to really grasp this love. And in this life, there's too many distractions and too many other loves that we can turn to before we can really grasp the love of God. And that's why he prays this prayer for the church in Ephesus. And that, I think that's why it should be a prayer for all of us. God, help me to learn, you know, what it means that you love me, to grasp the fullness of the love of God, the width and the length and the height and depth of God's love. We are so quick to run to something else. If this love of God is such a mystery, I don't know if you remember from Pastor Benjamin's message at the retreat, but he mentioned a very well-known theologian. I can't remember the name, I'm sorry, but he is a very well-known theologian, and they asked this guy before, like he's an old man and he's about to go, and they ask him, what is the deepest, most profound theological truth that you want to leave, you know, to the next generation of Christians, basically? And people are expecting him to say something really deep and really tough to understand and profound. But what he says is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he says this is the most profound theological truth that that he has learned over the years of studying and over the years of meditating. So if this love of God is such a mystery and such a profound thing, we probably need to remain in this. You know, tarry in this truth to understand and to grasp the full meaning of this. And yet we are so quick to turn to other things. We're so quick to run to some other task. We're so quick to run to some other form of entertainment, some other relationship. We're always looking for this love in some other source, through some other source. But what if knowing Christ's love, knowing this love that surpasses knowledge and knowing in our heart, what if that is the key, right, to living the kind of life that Jesus promises in John 10:10, the abundant life that Jesus promises? What if we knew the love of Christ fully in our hearts, maybe that will really help us live the kind of life that is full, full of life, you know, the overflowing of living water. That kind of life maybe is possible for us if we are filled in our heart with the love of God. You know, because we all long for love, right? If you ever seen the movie Moulin Rouge, There's a quote that says, "The greatest thing you will ever learn is just to love and to be loved in return." And everyone's like, "Oh, that's so warm and fuzzy and it's nice." And the movie, so I don't know if Andrew likes the movie or not, but I like the movie. And you know, we were touched by that. But it's because it speaks to something that is deep in our hearts, a longing that we have to love and to be loved in return. All we need is love, says the famous song by Beatles. And there's all these romantic comedies that just kind of speak to that longing in our heart. We want to be loved. We long to be loved. And yet we turn to all these other things. We look for it in all the wrong places. But what if our hearts could be filled up with the love of God, with the knowledge of God's eternal, unconditional love, and that could really change us from the inside out, so that we don't have to be looking for this in so many other places, but we move and operate from a place of knowing that we're loved, so that we can love people in return. The word know, I think we instinctively know this. There's a head knowledge and there's a heart knowledge, right? And both are necessary. In any human relationship, both are necessary. We talk about how Asian parents are not very good at expressing their love, right? Verbally. But parents expect the children to know that they're loved because they have provided for them and they have done all these things and made all the sacrifices. And yet still our generation, I think, our parents' generation were the ones that didn't express their love. So our generation, we complain and say our parents never, they didn't love us. They didn't express their love to us, right? Verbally. And we say, "Oh, you know, I never knew that my father loved me because he never said it," you know. But of course, in our heads, we know, as children, we know our parents love us. We know that our parents, I mean, we've seen the sacrifices and the provisions that they've made, but there's this longing in our hearts to feel loved, right? We want them to hold us in their arms. We want them to tell us that they're proud of us. There's a head knowledge and a heart knowledge, you know. A man and woman relationship as well, right? We want to express love because even if I don't say anything to my wife, she will know that that I love her and I know that she loves me. But why do we express our love to one another? Why do we verbally say, why do we buy gifts? Why do we hug or kiss or anything? Because we want to know in our hearts, not just in our heads, that we love each other. So there's something that needs to happen in our a relationship with God, because we know in our heads that Jesus loves us, but we don't always know it in our heart. And during the whole retreat, I felt like, and I could be wrong, you know, I mean, I don't know, right? But I was feeling in my heart that maybe God is moving us to a new season. You know, Pastor Sunny, she kind of said that God is doing a new thing, that he's moving us to a new dispensation. That's a fancy word, but dispensation just means like a season, right? Like a new time, right? A new phase. So I've been meditating on that. What does that mean? And I feel like maybe the new dispensation, at least for me, I think, is the love of God. Because if we operate out of the knowledge of the love of the Father, I think we'll operate very differently. It wouldn't be a performance thing. It wouldn't be, I don't know. I just think our lives will be so different. It's such a profound thing. And yet, I'm afraid that our church is so quick to just kind of be like, "Oh, retreat was great. And then let's move on. What's the next thing? What's the next message? What's the next truth? I don't know. What's the next task that we have to do?" And I want to say, you know what? I might not be using the word remain in the correct context, but I want to say, let's remain in this teaching a little bit longer. Let's kind of tarry in this teaching a little bit longer, and let's meditate upon this, and let's go deeper in our understanding of the love of the Father, because I don't think we know it enough. You know, retreat was fantastic, but it's just, I don't know, human nature. We're always running to something else, running to some other entertainment, running to some other thing that's going to grab our attention. But but the truth of the love of the Father is too profound for us to just hear it once and then forget about it. So I want to just suggest two things. Two words that begin with the word M. Memorize and meditate. Okay, let's memorize and meditate on the love of God. Memorize, just begin with these three verses. John 3:16, right? We all know that, so that's a freebie for us, right? Let's memorize that. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, I memorize it in the NIV version. Please don't tell Pastor Sam, but I like the NIV version. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. How profound is that truth? As the Father has loved Jesus, can you imagine how much love the Father has for Jesus? I mean, just think about that. And then Jesus says, that's the way I have loved you. In the same way the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. So stay in this love. So memorize that. That's an easy one. John 15:9. That's a short one. And then Ephesians 3:14 through 19. That's a challenging one. It's a little long, but I think we can do it. I think we can do it. I don't want to do it. There's a lot of pressure. I don't want to recite it right now, but there's... And let's memorize it and let's pray that we would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, right, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's crazy. To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, what an incredible prayer to be praying if you really think about what he is saying. Filled up to the measure of the fullness of God. That's crazy. But yet Paul says, I pray this for you. And Paul's a man of prayer. Paul prayed it every time he prayed for his disciples in Ephesus. He would pray this prayer. God, fill them to the measure of the fullness of God, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they will be strengthened out with the glorious riches of God in their inner being. So, I mean, let's memorize it. And then the next thing is let's meditate on it. Let's think about it often. And just remind ourselves of it. It's not easy. It's not easy because of all the distractions. Two, it's not easy because I think our hearts are so, we're so bent on towards sin. I don't know what it is. And I preach about this now, but I'm really preaching to myself, because whenever I have free time and I have the opportunity to sit and meditate on the love of God, I just want to do something else. I just want to turn to something else. Maybe it's the enemy. Maybe there's an attack on my heart to keep me away from knowing this truth, right? So he brings distractions, and he keeps my heart from actually doing the things that I want to do. So let's just go for it. Let's memorize these scriptures. Let's meditate upon it. I want to encourage you to listen to PB's sermons again. The few times that I did, I mean, it just moves my heart. You know, there's such a... He's a powerful speaker, but there's such an anointing upon those messages. So, anyway, let's turn to God this time, this morning. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and remind us of His love once again. I'm going to ask Eunice to come and lead us in a song. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that passage, John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I pray that in our hearts we would have the power to understand and to grasp what your love is like for us, God, for this truth of Jesus' love, but it's also really the love of God the Father to us, God. I pray that we would understand what that means, and that this profound truth and mystery will not be something that we are so familiar with, God, that we treat it with contempt, God, that this simple truth will be something that we hold on to, that we humbly would pray, God, for a deeper and greater revelation of this, God, deeper and greater understanding of this, God. In many ways, we've missed it. We haven't really pursued it, God. We haven't really honored this truth, God, and held it in high regard. We think it's the most basic truth, and we just kind of ignore it. But I pray that we would understand this, God, and we would hold it in high regard, and we would treasure this truth, God, that you love us, and that it would change our hearts, God. It will change our lives. So thank you. Just invite your presence here, God. Thank you.
My heart burns.
Thank you, Lord. Just pray for us as a group, God. I pray for our church, Lord, for just a fresh and new revelation of your love for us, God. Take us deeper. Help us, God, to tarry and remain in this truth, God, of the love of God until we come to a greater understanding, God. So, Lord, lead us this week and this day. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray for our church together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those going through cancer or chemotherapy or recovering from surgery. Let's pray for them with compassion, and let's pray with fervency in our hearts. So let's lift up our community together. Pray for our community going through illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God will move powerfully in their lives. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for just various infirmities in our community. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray for encouragement for the individual. Let's pray. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job at this time. Let's pray for breakthrough and favor and direction from the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for just our government, and let's pray something to be done about the wealth gap. Let's pray for a revival in the city with the churches. Pray for all the different ministries and the leaders of the ministries. Pray for anointing and guidance. So let's lift up our city together. Let's pray for the staff. Please continue to pray for Pastor Sam for a quick recovery, and pray for Lisa as she's having to take care of the kids and also take care of Pastor Sam. So let's pray for strength for her and for the rest of the staff. Thank you for your prayers. Pastor Ricky is traveling. Pastor Kenny is traveling. Rachel is recovering with the baby. So let's pray just special prayers for that. Bonnie is sick today, so let's pray for healing for that too. So let's pray for the staff. Thank you. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, and the media team. Let's pray for a heart of worship and a heart of excellence and attention to detail. And please pray for us with the three services happening. There's a lot of changes also with Pastor Hyunsoo gone. So there's a lot of changes to the team, especially the worship team and the sound team. So please pray for a good transition for us. Let's pray. Let's pray for our arts team, Arts Anonymous. Pray for creativity and for good teamwork. Let's pray for spread and the website. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for all the house churches meeting today. Let's pray for a really great time. Let's pray for an anointed time. Let's pray for great sharing and discussion and love amongst the house churches. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. We worship you and we love you in this place, God. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these verses, God. Help us to meditate and memorize these truths, God, that we would both, you know, cultivate a knowledge in our head and knowledge in our hearts, God, of the love of the Father, the love of Christ. So watch over us today and this week. I pray for your blessing over each person, God, that whatever they do, wherever they go today, God, that your presence goes with them, and that you will protect them and fill their hearts with joy and peace and give them favor in all the things that they do. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Bless you guys. See you tomorrow.